whole nine yards. But all right. In the meantime, tonight's Gemara is on page 53, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, we're up to Halacha Hey. Yeah, Haya Adam Maimed B'Tfila. A person will recall that he was davening. He was in the middle of davening. And this Kushu Bar Keri recalled that he's Bar Keri. Lo Yafsik, he shouldn't stop davening. Alikater, he should have abbreviated davening. He should daven quickly. Yor Adlibo. Now you went down to the mikveh before sunrise. And the Mishnayis, if you recall, hold that it's preferable to read Shema before Netzachama, the actual proper usage. It's preferable to read Shema before Netzachama, the David Kavasikin and Sage Monesri at Netzachama. So, Im Yachol, if you can go down, Lalos, if you can come up, please, Kasos, and cover yourself up properly, the Likros, and read Shema before sunrise occurs, then that's what you should do. You should rise and cover yourself up. And if not, you should cover yourself in the water and reach Shema that way. However, you should not cover yourself now with dirty water, nor with water used to soak flax. That's the assumption. Until you pour in them water to dilute them so they're not disgusting. How far do you have to distance yourself from them and from excrement? Arba amos. Okay, that's Mishnah. Masnisa berabim. This is all talking about when you're betzibur, when you're davening with a minion. Avol beino levenatzah, when you're davening on your own, be yechidus, then no. Yafsik. Interrupt and finish davening after you go to the mikveh. In other words, go interrupt your davening, go to the mikveh because you're a Baal Keri, and then finish davening afterwards. It's true. We'd rather you have the mile of davening betzibur than have the mile of davening when you're tahar. But if you're not davening betzibur anyway, so first go to the mikveh before you finish davening. Buram, however, ki Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda, who we paskin like nowadays, who holds that we no longer are makbid on this tevila for Keri. If you're davening on your own, you do not interrupt when you have no water nearby. If you have water handy, in other words, you're right near a mikveh or something like that. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you should interrupt your davening and go to the mikveh and continue afterwards. What about a person who's sick, who had relations with his wife, and it's too cold for him to go to the mikveh because he's sick? He wasn't too sick to have relations, but he's too sick to go to the mikveh. Rabbi said, you know what? If he caused himself to get in this situation by having relations, let him go to the mikveh, let him die. Come on him. He put himself in this situation. Tough. Says the Gemara, however, it was, if not that he had relations intentionally, but he had an omission unintentionally, we don't make him go to the mikveh. In other words, the chayla is exempt from this tevila for Keri. Rabbi Chagai said, b'shem Rabbi Abba Bar Zavdi, ben kach u ben kach, regardless, even if he intentionally did it to himself by having had relations, we do not require him to go to the mikveh. If he's sick, we don't force him to do so. Now, Chole Margil, generally speaking, a sick person who has intent, Margil means accustomed himself, but here it means has intentionally made himself tamei by having had relations, Tarsh Tisha Kabin. He's got to go under the shower and have 9 kav of water poured upon him, which we said is the lesser degree of achieving, way of achieving Tahara from Keri. Bari Margil, and therefore a person who's healthy, who has brought this upon himself by having had relations, Tzarech Arboim, so he's got to go to a full-blown mikveh. Chole mi ones, if he's a chole, he's a sick person, and he didn't bring it upon himself, but rather he had an emission, Ema trichin olam, we don't force him to go altogether, he doesn't even need 9 kav. Bari meonis, so a person who's healthy and it had an emission, then Tzarech Tisha Kabin, he has to take the shower of 9 kabin before he can go ahead and learn in Davin. Rabbi Zavdi braid Rabbi Yaakov bar Zavdi said b'shem Rabbi Yonah, and name Rabbi Yonah, ir shemayona rochok. If you have a city which is the, where the mayon, in other words, the mikvah, is distant from the city, harei zekori shema, then you read the shema first, because that's the raisa. The yored v'toivo, and you go down and you go to the mikvah subsequently, voilum mitzbala, and then you daven afterwards. Now the assumption is that obviously you don't have you don't have that much time to daven. You don't have that much time to say Shema Tzedamah, because for davening you have an extra hour. So therefore, say Shema first, then go to the mikvah, and then come back and daven. Imu adam mesuyam. If a person is excessively large, mesuyam means specific, but that's a euphemism here. It's like portly. So if he's a portly person, so then even if the mikvah is near the city, also so kemayan rochok. Then it's as if the...
Somebody have a mercury wings here? A mercury sable or the, I don't know.
What color is it?
I don't know. Somebody came in and said, do you have a mercury?
Okay. If he's a large person, then also Zokamai and Rochok, then we, even if the mikvah is right near the city, we regard it as if it's far away, and therefore he doesn't have to go down to the mikvah until after Shema, later on in the day, before he goes to Davin. Okay? New Piska. New pattern, new issue. Vimlav. If not, we said in the Mishnah, Vimlav, and if not, Yiskasa b'may v'yikra. If he doesn't have enough time to come out and say Shema and cover himself up properly, then he covers himself with water and reads in the water. Masnis in our Mishnah story about Bachurim, where the water is dark, is muddied. However, Avo Bitzlulin, if it's not muddy, if it's clear, also it's forbidden because you can see the erva through the water. So then, of course, you're not considered to be covered up by the water. If you can muddy the waters by mixing your foot around down in the bottom of the pond or whatever it is, then yachor, you can do that, and that'll be sufficient in order to reach ma, because then you can't see the erva through the water. Okay? Tani, we learned, marchiki mitzvah sodom, one must distance oneself from the excrement of a human being, arba amos, 4 amos in order to say Shema. Umitzvah clothing from the excrement of dogs, arba amos, also 4 amos. Ubishoshu noisin l'oros. That's only, however, when that dog excrement is being put into tanning vats. They used to tan hides with dog excrement. So before it's put into the tanning vats, it doesn't smell so bad. However, once it's put in the tanning vat, it smells very bad, and then you have to distance yourself 4 amos from it. Okay? Now, what I was going to say, 4 amos means from the end of the, from where the odor ends. Not because you might still be smelling it at the end of 4 amos, so you have to put it 4 amos from where the odor ends. Okay? Says the Gemara, but Rabbi Yirmi B'Shem Rabbi Zeir said, Nevela Shenitzucha, if you have a nevela, a dead carcass, which smells bad, also, tzarechik min arbams, you have to smell, distance yourself 4 amos from it. Okay, because of the bad smell. Rabbi Avina said, wait a minute. Is that a chiddush Rabbi Yirmiyah saying? Umas niso amrakein. Our Mishnah already said this. V'kama yarchik mehemu minatzoa. How far must you distance yourself from them and from the excrement? Arba'amos, what's the from them? From anything which smells bad. It's already known, available for our Mishnah. What's Rabbi Yirmi telling us which you don't know already? Rabbi Yami, Shammai. I don't think the Samor appears anywhere in the Bavli. Rabbi Shammai. We have Beis Shammai, we have Shammai the Tana, but I don't think there's ever a Shammai in the Bavli. Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Shammai, Tipater b'mishru shokovsim. You know what? Could be it's different. Could be that our Mishnah is talking about where it's not about something which smells bad, waters which smell bad. May Mishra is waters in which you have bad smelling excrement because you're doing they used to use also excrement as detergent. Dog excrement was all purpose kind of stuff, so it's used also for detergent. So I when it's so his kasha Rabbi Yirmiya was, Mar's kasha Rabbi Yirmiya is that what you said is something that smells bad. You have to distance yourself. We already know from our Mishra, because our Mishra says you have to distance yourself from May Mishra, four Amos. Right? So it says Gemara, no, maybe that May Mishra is talking about something else. Maybe that May Mishra is talking about where they're working in the river. And since they're working in the river, you know, they're actually soaking stuff. So you have to distance yourself for Amazon there in order that they shouldn't make you wet, nor they shouldn't distract you, right? Nor that you shouldn't interfere with their work. So maybe it doesn't have directly to do with the problem of bad smell. Amalei Rabbi Mon, or Rabbi Mon said, nah, not a good answer. Im b'mishra shokovsim ha'tzeninot. It was talking about, indeed, Mishra Shokovsin, about a launderer soaking, and that the question had to do with not to disturb them, that's a separate statement in our Mishnah. Ha'tzeninon lo b'mayim aroyim v'lo b'may Mishra. You might say that May Mishra is referring to the soaking of the laundry. I shouldn't stand near there because it's going to be a distraction. But then what does mayim aroyim mean? What is bad water? It must be that the badness of the water, when we say the word mayim roim, implies that we're talking about a case not only where there are distractions involved, but also where there are issues of bad smells involved. So the kash remains Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya is not saying any greater kiddush than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said we're saying it smells bad, you have to distance yourself. Our Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiya, is not saying any greater kiddush than that. And of course, Kedarko Shel HaYushalmi, we leave such a question up in the air and we do not resolve it, and we go on to another issue. Tani, we learned. Katon Shiyochel Lecho Kezayis Dogon. A child, this is of course a well-known halacha from the Bavli as well. A katan who can eat a kezayis of grain, parshimitzo also. We must distance ourselves from his excrement, umimeme rather from his urine, arba amos. Vimeno yochel lecho kezayis dog, and if he's not yet old enough to eat a kezayis of grain, and porshim lo mitzo also, one does not have to distance oneself, not from his excrement, v'lo mimei meraglov, nor from his urine, daud amos, four amos. Bone kumei rabbi avur. So,
from a baby's diaper, is it such an issue?
If the baby's diaper smells, you have to distance yourself four amos in the end of the smell. If it's covered, it's not a problem. If the diaper is covered, it's not a problem unless it smells. Okay? That's what we're going to come to later on. When you see at the bottom of Chof Chesam Nalf, we're going to discuss about when you see the Tzoa. Here I'll tell you about when you smell it.
Yeah.
Right. It's only after they can start eating grain. That's what we're talking about here. Right. Nursing babies. And here we're talking about solely about smell, not about line of sight. That's going to be a separate issue. It seems that the urine of a child before it begins to eat grain doesn't have a bad smell to it. It's only after the child begins to eat grain. That's what it says here. Says the Gemara. I'm not sure if that's in the Bavli. I think it also says Meiragl over there, but I don't know offhand. But that's definitely the end of the sugi in the Bavli. Now the Yushami goes into a little bit more of a discussion of that. Says more bone ka kume rabbi avua. The asked for rabbi avua. We name our poshimitzosu me me raglov. Why do we distance ourselves from his excrement and from his urine? Says more amazing thing. Amar Lun, he said to us, bivnei shemach shavos savros. Because he has bad thoughts. The moment he can start eating grain, he has bad thoughts. And that impacts upon the smell of the odor of his urine and of his excrement. Amrin Leh, so they said to him, we said to him, Velo Kodin, who isn't he a little kid? What kind of bad thoughts can a little kid have? On my lawn, he said to us, Velo Ksiv, does it not say, Ki Yetzer Leh V'Odom Ramin Urav? That the heart, the Yetzer Hara of an individual is bad from his youth. So it means from the time he's very young, from the time he can eat grain. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, if that's the case, you should even have to distance yourself from younger children's urine and excrement, because minu'ura of ksiv. What does minu'ura of mean? Mishoshu ninar lots islam, once he starts shaking and moving inside to come out into the air of the world. So we see here that if that's the case, we should have to distance ourselves from their excrement and from the urine, even from a younger age. And again, since this is the Yerushalmi, the sugya ends abruptly here without any answer. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is you only have to distance yourself from the urine and excrement of the child once he becomes old enough to eat grain.
So the Yerushalmi never employs the term teku or anything like that?
No, never. I believe the word teku never appears in the Yerushalmi. It might have been interpolated by later, you know, scribes, but it was it's a Bavli phrase. Okay? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Omar Yossi Bar Chanina said, Marchiki miglole beima arba amos. But you have to distance yourself from the excrement of an animal for amos. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Birakim. It's only if the excrement is soft. Uvad b'shal chamar, only if it's donkey excrement. I guess that smells particularly bad. And rachia b'rabo amar b'bom in aderech, if the donkey had just come back from a long trip, because then its excrement smells really bad. Levi amar, marachiki mitzvah chazir, you have to see yourself from the excrement of a pig, arbamos. V'tani kein, we learned this at a brice as well. Marachiki mitzvah chazir arbamos, from the excrement of a pig. And mitzvahs nemoya from the excrement of a weasel, arba amos. And nemoya arba amos. And mitzvahs anektani golim arba amos. And from the excrement of a rooster or a hen, four amos. Rabbi Yosi bar Avun b'shem Rabbi Huna said, Ochuna said, bilvad badumim. Only red ones. So Shiloh, what red ones means here? Does it mean red roosters or hens or red excrement? So the Mefarshim go both directions. If you see red roosters or red excrement, you should be machmir. Okay? Says where Tani, Marchikim, this is the point which I told you before. Marchikim Yireach Ra Arba Amos, we distance ourselves from the bad smell, Arba Amos. Amra Biyami Misof Reach Ra Arba Amos. From the end of the area where the smell is, from there you go further, 4 Amos. Ha darli amar di amar. Now that's only talking about that which we said this hada, this damar that we said lacharov is where the tzoa is behind you. I have a lefana, but it's in front of you on mokum shade of rose. Line of sight is much worse. Even if you can't smell it, if you can see it, it's bad. Okay, says the gemara. Okay, hada, like the following case. An interesting halacha. Rabbi Laya v'chevraya, Rabbi Laya and his friends, Hava Yasvin Kume Pundika, they were sitting in front of the motel. You know, they were at their Motel 6, and they were sitting up at the you know, one of those chairs outside, but Ramsha in the dark. Amrin, and they asked the Shaila, Mao Meimar Milaya Doraisa. Well, I was sitting here having a good time. Can we talk, Torah? So he said, Amr Loni said, no. He said to us, "Became a deilu hava b'yamama. Since if it were daytime, having chamion makuminon, we would see that which is in front of us. I guess there was an outhouse right in front of them, but since it was dark, they couldn't see it and they couldn't smell it. So, nevertheless, he said that which is dark doesn't take away from the prohibition. In other words, if it's in the line of sight." Regardless of whether you can actually see it, it's prohibited to learn Torah in that location. And therefore, again, since it was the day, Havir Chamion, we would see Makumino, what's before us, Berom, however, or there, here meaning, therefore, Kidon Osir, now it's Osir as well. Okay? Tani, we learned, Grav Shorei, if you have a bucket full of excrement, a graph echochere, one bucket full of excrement. Graph, a bucket. Echochere, whether it is of excrement. Vechochemaim, or whether it's of urine. Tzarech larkin menu arba amos. You have to, this is a 4 amos from it. Vishalif ne amito. However, if it's in front of the bed, in other words, I guess the bedpans they used at night, or the chamber pots were not as disgusting as a regular bucket full of urine or excrement, and therefore no sinsocho mayim kosher yikra. As long as you put a little bit of water into that urine to dilute it, you can reach Shema in its presence. V'im lav, and if not, al yikra. You shouldn't reach Shema in its presence. How much? Rabbi Zakkai said, no san lusocho revius mayim. If you put a revius, which is depending on, that's the same amount used for Kiddush, right? 3 ounces, 4 ounces, 5 ounces, depending on which shear you accept. Nothing so revius. Mind, if you put within it the shear revius of water, yikra, then you could read the Shema in its presence, or to learn, or daven. Vimlav, and if not, ah, yikra, you cannot. Umau kidei revius. And what does it mean, kidei revius? Now, the next three words, everybody has a lot of difficulty with. So here, I'm going to use the Ritbaz, not just because he was the chief rabbi of Chicago, but because he's the easiest shot to use. Can you imagine that? Think about that for a minute. There's a parish on the side of the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, written by somebody who's actually the chief rabbi in Chicago. Isn't that an amazing concept? So, what?
Must have been a long time ago when he was chief rabbi.
Well, it was in 1915. It wasn't so long ago. Yeah, so in any event, so... says the Gemara, Mao Kedei Revius, Revius Besoch Revius. By the way, the reason why he became chief rabbi is because he went broke publishing this Yerushalmi. So he had to come to America to pay off his chayvus. So he had a salary back then of $3,000 a year. It was an amazing salary. So that's what he was, that's why he came here. So in any event, Mao Kedei Revius, what does it mean Kedei Revius? Revius Besoch Revius. It means for each revius of urine which you have in the for each revius of urine you have in the chamber, in the bedpan, you put in a revius of water. So a dilution of 1:1 is sufficient in order to reach mind the presence of this bedpan. Okay? Says makes a difference if it's a big pan or a little pan, you need the ratio of 1:1. If it's behind the bed, you can say Shema. If it's leaving the Amita, because you're in front of the bed.
That's a ridiculous statement.
Who? Why?
As to the size of the pot.
It makes no difference how big the pot is.
But of course it makes no difference. Who cares about the size of the pot? All we care about is the contents. Because, saying no matter the size of the pot, you need a ratio 1:1.
Right. Yeah.
All we care about is the ratio. What's the difference between those? It's like, why would I even think of saying the size of the pot? I don't care about the difference of the size of the pot. All focusing is on the substance that's in the pot.
Mm. I hear that. So you're asking, that's a good question. It's probably a good question on the Ritbaz. I'll tell. That's why the Pnei, I'll tell you, since you don't like the Ritbaz, I'll tell you the Pnei Moshe's shot. It doesn't bother me that much when you ask, I have to tell you, because ethically, it could be the Gemara just, you know, said, we're not looking at the size of the keli, we're looking at dilution. And the Gemara expressed it that way by saying, revius, revius, so revius, it doesn't matter the size of the keli. So you're right, it's extraneous, it goes without saying, but that's just Gemara's way of expressing itself. But, yeah. So the, but the Pnei Moshe says, the shot is that it doesn't matter. Adrabi says there's a big chiddush here. That it doesn't matter how much urine there is in the pot and how big the pot is, as long as you poured a symbolic amount of revius in it. That's sufficient. So that's how he learns this line. Again, it's a big chiddush. Okay, according to him, the revius is static. If you have a pint of urine or a gallon of urine, all you need to pour in is a revius of water. I like the way Bazar Pshat is better. It's more rational to me. What? He kind of glosses over that. That's why in that Bnei Moshe he has a klomar. Now, the way he learns it is that revius or besoch revius means he learns it as two different statements. Either you pour revius of water into the urine, or you urinate on into a pot which already had a revius of water in it. So it's either revius or besoch revius. You understand how Pnei Moshe is learning it? Okay. That's a beautiful thing about Yerushalmi. We have a lot of lines like this which you can learn any way you want. Yerushalmi gives you much more creativity than Bavli. Yes?
Can we just cover it up?
What?
cover it up.
You could cover it with a sheet or something. That's true. But you were talking about a case, I guess, where they didn't have something to cover it up with. But that's what the Gemara is making, the next point. So the Gemara says, if you are in front of the bed, and it's in front of the bed, then that's bad, right? Where am I here? If it's behind the bed and you're in front of the bed, it's okay. If, however, it's in front of the bed and you're in front of the bed, lo yikra, you shouldn't read Shema. That's not clear. Shimon Gamliel is arguing on the previous Gemara, or like you're suggesting, what the previous Gemara is giving one etza to put in a ravias of water. And there's another etza to put in a way where you can't see it. Okay? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, says, afilu traklin godol traklin, even a great hall. Right, all of you all know Olam Hazeh Domeh L'Prozda, Olam Bo Domeh L'Trachli. This world is like a hall, it's like an antechamber. The next world is like a great banquet hall. What was the size of the great banquet hall in the times of Yerushalmi? Esser al Esser, 10 amas by 10 amas. This huge room, right? That's it. The Trachli is 10 amas by 10 amas. It's approximately 15 or 20 feet by 15 or 20 feet, right? So even if it's a big hall like that. So, and there's in one corner of the room, there's a bedpan. You shouldn't reach mine the other side of the room. Lo yikra, achi chaseno, until, like you suggest, you cover it, or shenecheru tachsemita, you put it under a bed. You know, Lamaisa, there are trains nowadays, Amtrak has sleepers, in which you have a toilet in the sleeping room. It's underneath your chair, and when you want to attend your needs, you pick up your chair and you use the toilet. So this, in fact, I think that would be considered tachas amita, and that would therefore be okay. You would be able to say Shema or daven in the room when it was covered. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Lozom, Rabbi Yaakov Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Chia Barva said, "Hore Rabbi Chanina tarte." Rabbi Chanina said, "You have to do both." Kehada to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. In other words, both you have to. You know, I'm misleading you, by the way. The word tarti is also a subject of great debate. What does the word tarti mean? According to Pnei Moshe, tarti means the city where Rabbi Chanina comes from. According to another interpretation, it means both Rabbi Chia Barva and Rabbi Chanina were both moreh. They both paskin. That has to be covered. Another way of interpreting, which I recall correctly from the Mashbiach, is that he paskin, you have to do both things. You have to pour in some water, and you have to cover it. Like Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, you have to do both.
Spelled with a hay?
No, it is spelled with a hay. You're thinking of tarvayu, which is same thing. You're right. It's spelled usually without a hay at the end. That's correct. That's probably why Pnei Moshe says it's a place name, because it's spelled with the hay at the end. That's what gives them that. But the truth is, we have so little knowledge. It's entirely possible that the scribes messed it up with Yerushalmi. So I know if we could bring a ride from the fact that it has a hay at the end.
What was the explanation with both?
With both? That I think that you have to cover. Let me check. I have my figure. I believe he says that you both have to cover it, and you have to put some water in it. But I can check that up relatively simply.
It says like Shimon ben Elazar, right? So that was only one of those things.
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. He says the Shimon ben Elazar said, "This is the Mashbiach says: either you cover it, or you put it underneath your bed." And he, Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, the name Rabbi Chia Barva, paskin that you have to both cover it and put it under your bed. In other words, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said either or. Either you cover it or you put it under your bed, and he paskin that you have to do both. You have to cover it and put it in your bed. In other words, like we have this halacha in other places, Shas, two coverings. So he said here that the urine needs two coverings as well. Okay. No, it's assuming there's no smell. It's all assuming there's no smell. Just get out of the line of sight. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yoim by Yefes, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan gave a very big kula here. Tsoa koshu, if you have a little bit of excrement, mivat lebarok, you can cover it up with saliva. Saliva is a little bit whitish in color. So the saliva can cover the, again, assuming there's no smell, the saliva can cover the excrement so you can read Shema. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Zira and Rabbi Yaakov Azavdi have a yasmin, they were sitting. Chamun tsiyasa, they saw excrement. Come Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi, so Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi got up, Rock Akalani spitted it. Only Rabbi Zira said that Minyama Litgina, that's good enough for a short period of time. It's the amount of time it takes to go from the city of Yama to the city of Tigna, according to one interpretation. According to another interpretation, the amount of time it takes to take a fish out of the sea and put it into the frying pan. But eventually what happens to the saliva? It dries up or it sinks into the excrement, and then it doesn't do any good anymore. Tevo shimaleh svarim. If you have a box full of svarim, and you have to go to sleep in the room, nostamira shosei amita, you put it underneath the head of your bed. Ve'en nostamira aglos amita, not underneath the foot of your bed, it's not there, cheretz. Rabbi Amishai, Rabbi Chuna said, v'hu shetei amita gavo asor tefachim, you only put it on the bed if the bed is 10 tefachim high. Because then it's considered as if the svarim are in a separate rishus, in a separate domain, underneath your bed. The straps which hold up your bed should not touch the aron which holds the svarim. Hori Rabbi Yasa b'mkomid Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yasa paskin in the place of Rabbi Shmuel Yitzchak kehada de Rav Chuna, like that which Rav Chuna said. In other words, this whole halach which we just mentioned. Lo yishamesh adam mitaso, a person should not have relations in the sefer Moabites with the sefer Torah in the same house, here meaning the same room. Rabbi Yerushim Revo said imoya korch b'mapu sefer Torah was covered in a covering in a cloth of some sort, or she'anos b'chalon shugavah asar tefachim, or if it was in a cubby hole which is 10 tefachim high, so then mutzer, because it's going to be either concealed or it's going to be in a separate shoes. Rabbi Shuvan Levi said also lo kilon, you have to make before it a curtain. Lo yishev adam agabi safsol shesefer Torah nosen olel. Your love, you shouldn't sit on a bench on which there's a sefer Torah. Maisa Rabbi Lezer is a maisa threat which happens Rabbi Lezer. Shal yishev agabi safsol shesefer Torah nosen olel. He was sitting on a bench on which there was a sefer Torah. And when he realized it, he jumped up from before it. As somebody who jumps up when they realize that there is a snake right nearby. Now, this is only if it's on the same level. If it's on top of something else, mutter, it's permissible to sit on the same bench as the Sefer Torah. How much higher does the Sefer Torah have to be than that level in which you're sitting? So Rabbi Abishim, Rabbi Kuchuna said there has to be a tefach of a barrier of a distinction between the Sefer Torah and the level in which you're sitting. So if you have, say, if you were sitting on this table here, so you wouldn't be able to sit on there if there's a Sefer, unless it's a tefach high. Not like this, half a tefach high, but actual tefach high. Okay? That's according to one interpretation. According to the other interpretation, we say that Rabbi Yerushim, Rabbi Zira says, afilu koshu. Even if it's just a piece of paper underneath the Sefer Torah, that's sufficient. You can sit on the same level. Okay? Not the same level, but right next to it. So, says the Gemara, we don't have any resolution here. I believe that we generally are makel that even if it's a hefsek koshu, and not by sefer Torah, that very rarely happens. But by sfarim, even hefsek koshu, and I've seen, and I haven't looked it up, but I've seen that people are makel if the sefer standing. In other words, if you're on a bench and there's a sefer next to you and it's standing as opposed to lying, so people are makel to sit on the bench. Okay, same thing. Yeah. You stand up, you stand the sitter up. I don't know why that helps, but I've seen that's done.
Exactly the same surface, or let's say you have two benches right next to each other.
No, it has to be exact. If you have two set benches, then that's okay. It has to be on the same bench, or the same bench. The right, maybe that's it. The writing's on the same level. Could be. I don't know. Could be. Not supposed to farm in bedroom. Again, the same halach unless you have a kilo. See, our farm are different, right? Theoretically, one can make the case our farm are not sefer Torah, so one could be lenient. But generally, the minhag is that if one has farm in a bedroom, then one covers them, or you know, with a a curtain or something like that. So that's the, generally speaking, what we do. Says more, daiski shumalei sforim. If you had a sack full of sforim, or alternately, you had a sack full of bones, the bones of a dead body. You are permitted to put it on your back, you know, like the hobos used to walk with the rod and with the sack at the end. That's okay. It's not considered to be lack of covet for the sforim or for the dead bones. Verochem, and you can ride that way. Tefillin. So to tefillin, tolosam irashu samita, you can hang them at the head of your bed. Veina tolosam irashu samita, but not by the foot of your bed. And Rabbi Shmuel, and we have a mice like this, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Avo, and Rabbi Lezim Sher Mechanina all said, Rabbi Ranasi, haya tolos tefillin, he would hang his tefillin at the head, b'rashu samita, at the head of his bed. Rabbi Chizkia said, "B'shem Ravo, Nervo, Ubad lo Yavid loho, Yavid shouldn't, however, do with them, causing diklara." Now I don't know, diklara is obviously some Greek or Roman word. What it means here is that you shouldn't hang them by the strap and have the bias hanging down like a pendant. Right? In a pendant, you have like the charm hanging at the end. You don't do that. You put the bias up high, and you have the straps hanging down. Okay, that's the way to do it. Okay, el tefillin milamal, tefillin high, ritzuos milamaton, and the ritzuos hanging down below. Tana, we learned, Rabbi Chalafta ben Shol said, oh, this is in the Bavli, otesh b'tfiloso, some of you sneezes in his davening, simen ra lo, it's a bad sign for him, hada dat omar, however, that which you said is only milamato if he's passing gas. In other words, sneezing from the other end, from down below. But sneezing from the mouth, low, that's not a problem. Asya demar, Rabbi Chanina, and this is going like that which Rabbi Chanina said, this mar is omar, right? Because as we know in the Yerushalmi, very often we drop the aleph. Like that which Rabbi Chanina said, Ani Raisius Levi, I Rabbi Anasi Mifaheku Matesh, he was yawning and sneezing in the middle of davening. What would he do for noticing the order about peace? He would put his hand out his mouth. Avo, even though that's permitted, lo rokeik, you're not allowed to spit in the middle of davening. Rabbi Yochamar, afilu rokeik, you can even spit. Kidei shea koso noki, in order that his cup should be clean. And this cup here means his mouth. In other words, when you praise Hashem, it says you're supposed to do it bepem mole. So therefore, you're allowed to spit in order to clear your mouth. In order, your mouth should be ready to praise God properly. That's why it's why is it called a kos? Various different reasons. The Mashbiach says because kos means lechoseis, means to chew. So the mouth is the chewing organ. Okay. That we'll get to. Says the Gemara. What? Modern Hebrew. No, lil'os means to move your jaws. But lekoseis means to chew food. And not all food. To chew like a nut or a hard kernel of grain is called lekoseis. Like a cracking type of chewing. Okay? Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yochamar filo okay de shere kosanoki lifanav asur. However, not before you. Lacharav mutar, only behind you. Liyamino asur, to your right it's asur because the right is holier. Lismal mutar, to your left is okay. Hadadu uchsiv, as it says, yipo mitzitcha elef urevava miyaminecha, right? It says on your left hand only 1,000 people will fall. On your right hand 10,000 people will fall. So we see the right is more significant than the left, right? Everybody agrees that Bahadin de Rokak Itzalin, those who spit into an Itzalin, do Asr. Now, almost all the Mefarshim say, almost everybody says, there's a typo here. That it should say that those who spit into an Itzalah, into a handkerchief, it's Mutter. Spitting into a handkerchief is okay. But the Mashbiach, the Pittsburgher, says, is brilliant. He says, I'm a mighty body. Where people are wearing itzdalos, and itzdalos is a long garment, like a like a frock or something like that, something which sweeps down to the floor. So what's he saying? What a kapata. So bekula dahadi, where people are wearing long garments, but then it's also to spit there, even in front of you, even in behind you. Why? Because the long garments are going to sweep the floor and pick up all the spittle. So therefore, in that place, it's also to spit on the floor, even behind you. Okay, that's how he learns. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Levi Omer, Haroki Bebeis HaKnesses, somebody who spits in a shul, Kiroki Baseinu, it's as if he's spitting into the pupil of his eye. So it's a repulsive kind of behavior. However, Rabbi Yoina, Rokak, he would spit in shul, Vishayif, and he would rub it into the ground with his foot. And this is what Lubavitchers do. I know many of you dive in Lubavitcher shuls. Other chassidim do it as well. But by Olenu, when they say, Shem Mishtachavim Lehevel Varik, then they spit on the floor and they rub the spit into the ground. So that's like he's saying that you're allowed to do it if you rub it into the ground afterwards. Okay? Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Bei Rabbi Avon. Rabbi Yossi said in the house of Rabbi Avon, V'cheiner okay, so to some is... Did I skip? Oh, sorry. Rabbi Yemi and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Chalavda said, V'shem Rabbi Ado Bar Achua, Amispalel, name Rabbi Ado, his brother's son, Amispalel, some is davening, Al Yoruk Achal Charb Amos. You shouldn't spit until you walk for Amos. In other words, it's not to finish davening, and immediately afterwards spit. It's not nice. So you should walk for Amos first, and then spit. Okay? We'll see if you actually have to walk, or it's a time element. Similarly, I'm Rabbi Yossi Bei Rabbi Avon, vice versa. The general cake somebody who just spit, I spal achi ale charbam shun daven until he's walked for Amos. Tani, we learned, hamispal al yati lo samayim. A person finished davening should not urinate achi ale charbam until he walks for Amos away. Somebody just finished urinating, I espouse not daven, Achyal Charbam, so he walks for Amos. I'm Rabbi Yaakov Baracha. Rabbi Yaakov Baracha said, Lo sof tover, do not come to the conclusion that it means Achyal Charbam until he walks for Amos away from where he urinated, because you know what? He urinated here. Maybe where he ends is 4 hours of walking, somebody urinated there also. So obviously, we're not concerned about the urine per se. As far as you're concerned, you'll just cover it. What it means is you should wait the amount of time which it takes to walk for Amos, a second or two, as long as he waited, the amount of time it takes to walk for Amos, that's sufficient. Amr Abi Ami, why is that? Excuse me? He stayed in place. Amr Abi Ami, why is that? Rabbi Ami said, why is that true? If he says to walk for Amos, he's forbidden until that. Hani Omer, I'd say, well, okay, walk for Amos down the road. Maybe somebody else urinated there before him. So therefore, it can't be literal. That's to mean the amount of time it takes to walk for Amos. Rabbi Yaakov b'shem Rav Av said, Tzoa, now we're talking about when excrement loses its din of excrement. And you don't have to walk, stay 4 hours away from it, and even if it's in your line of sight, you don't have to be concerned about it. Tzoa ad shetiyabish ke'etzen, by the excrement until it's dry like a bone. Mayim, by urine, kozman shem ad pichin, as long as they are a little bit moist. You have to distance yourself once the excrement is hard like a bone, or once the urine is no longer moist, you don't have to distance yourself. Geneva said, Maim kozman shirishuma nikar. But by the urine, as long as you can tell by looking at the ground, even if it's not moist, that there was urine there, it's forbidden. Shmuel amar achi karma panel. Shmuel says by excrement, You have to keep distancing yourself until such time as the excrement has formed a crust. Has a crust over the surface. At that point, you no longer have to distance yourself. Shimon bar Vav, Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Achi Karpanel, the same thing until it forms a crust. Rabbi Yirmi and Rabbi Zir B'Shem Rav said, so afilo suya katsem, excrement, even if it's already hard like a bone, asura, you have to distance yourself from there. Shmuel Amar ad shikaram ponel, Shmuel says, until it gets hard like a bone, and this is a repetition, so one of them is extra, and the scribe wrote this over twice by mistake. Shimon bar Vo Amar b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Shimon bar Vo says the name Rabbi Yochanan ad shikaram bar ponel, he also says that it's until crossed over. Omer Chizkiya said, Rabbi Abba machmir b'mayim yesem min hatzor, Rabbi Abba is more machmir by urine than by excrement. So let's look back at what Rabbi Abba said a minute. Rabbi Abba said about six lines on top that by tzoa achit yabish katsim, by excrement it's until it gets dry like a bone. By water, as long as that's moist. So he says by that long as there's some moisture. So he says the shear which he gave by water takes longer than it takes for, I shouldn't say it's longer. There's less recognition. In other words, if there's a little bit of moisture, so then that certainly should be considered to be a more advanced stage of decay than when it's hard like a bone. Because when it's hard like a bone, you could still see it was there, right? It's still there. It's just hard. Yeah, nonetheless, at that point, you no longer have this to yourself. By urine, that's not enough. By urine, as long as there's some vestige of moisture, you have to distance yourself. That's a much bigger chumrah. So it's more machmir by urine than by excrement.
So by excrement, it's hard, since it's hard, it came out different.
Don't they have like dunk throwing contests somewhere in the Midwest? Right. What?
Couches.
Right. So he else said it comes like a hockey puck. It's a different type of the mitzvahs then. Yes. Right. That's right. As long as there's any moisture there. Okay. So says Gemara, Amrei Rabbi Manar, Rabbi Manar said min hado de gniva. And here the Mashbiach says, nobody knew how to interpret the next Rosh Yetivus until he came along. How should be the next Rosh Yetivus? Minhad Gniva Aleph Lamed. Amarle, right? So the Mashbiach says, if you read it like that, it makes no sense. And talk of the Pnei Moshe, and everybody else goes crazy trying to explain what it is. So he says that's not the way to open the Rosh Yetivus. The way to understand Rosh Yetivus is Islay. Minhada the Gneva Islay from from that which Gneva said, he holds the same thing, right? Because Gneva said, what Gneva said, by water calls Manchu Shumanikar, as long as there's an impression which is still left. Well, that sounds like he's also much more machmir from by urine than by excrement, right? Minhada the Gneva Islay. And from that which Gneva we see, Afila Asuya Ketzem Asura, that even if it's like a bone, it's forbidden. I'm sorry. Well, let me change one thing. Mina, Ramona, said, Mina Da, from that which Rabbi Chizkiya said that only Rabbi Abba is more machmir by urine than by excrement, we can assume that Gneva, even though he's super machmir by urine, must hold the same parameter by urine as by excrement. Alright, so what did Gneva say? Gneva holds that by the urine, there can't be any vestige left. Right? So says the Gemara, min hado di Gneva, min hado, from this we must learn, from the fact that only Rabbi Abba is more machmir by urine than by excrement, that Gvina must hold that the shear by urine and excrement is the same. Well, if that's the case, it must be the Gneva Yisrael, Afilu Asuya Ketzem Asura. Even if you have excrement, which is tough like a bone, it's forbidden. Mivnei Shema Moshe Kayim. Because you still have some substance there. Why? Because by Mayim, by the urine, he required Ema Mashakayim. He required that there be no Roshim Nikar. There be no impression left. So therefore, by Tzora, he must also require that be no impression left. That's a much more later stage than when it's dry like a bone. So again, he says, if Rabbi Abba is the only one who's more machmir by urine than by excrement, it must be that Gvina holds that by urine and excrement it's the same shear. What's that shear? Once it's obliterated completely, it's not enough that it's dry like a bone. Okay, so if you go to a dung throwing contest, you're not allowed to say shmazer. Says the Mishnah further. Zav Shiroa Keri. Tonight we finish a parak. Mirzushan. Zav Shiroa Keri. Now it's an interesting halacha. This tevila, which we saw, which they had to do at the time when there was Tumah and Tara, this tevila was not a tevila because of Tumah. This tevila, we said, is that people shouldn't be going around having bad thoughts and having relations in the middle of the day. So therefore, they made you, anytime you had an emission, go to the mikveh. So if that's the case, says the Mishnah, Zav Shiroa Keri. He's already a Zav. He's much more Tame. He's super Tame. He's a Zav. And now on top of that, he saw a Keri. He still has to go to the mikveh before he davens. Why? Because it's a separate halacha, even though it's not going to make him tar. But separate halacha, since he's about Keri, since he had an emission or had relations, he's got to go to the mikveh. Zav Shiroa Keri and a Nida. She's super Tame. She's Nida already. But a few days ago she had relations with her husband. And some of the Zera now came out, which is tantamount to a Baal Keri. So if she wants to go daven now, she's got to go to the mikveh. Even though it won't help her for Nida, a Nida shall remain. But from the Keri, she's got to go to the mikveh. And so too, a woman who had relations, this is the other way around. She saw relations and then she came and now Nida afterwards. Sichem Tefillah, they all required Tefillah. Again, even though it won't help for the Nida, but it'll help for the carry. Rabbi Yehuda Pait, Rabbi Yehuda says in all these cases they don't need Tefillah. You mean for hygienic reasons? So what? In the old days, they went in rivers and spring, you know, lakes. It would dissipate very quickly. Yeah, they didn't go to they didn't have mikvahs like we have today. Rabbi said this modern concept of mikvah, this is only a 300-year-old thing. They never had this in the old days. What? Yeah, they had a mikvah there because there was no choice. But generally speaking, I'm not saying that it didn't exist. But generally speaking, they went to rivers and springs and lakes, so they wouldn't have this problem, you know. Be a lot of other stuff in rivers and springs and lakes, too. Says more. Ad Kedun. Now here, I'm very happy I had the Sefer, because Yor Sameach explains the sugya very nicely, and I took it from there. Ad Kedun Zav, Shiroa Keri. This is only, until now we learned about a Zav, somebody who was already a Zav, and he saw Keri. Va'afilu Keri Shiroa Zav. And even vice versa. You were first about Keri, and then he became a Zav. Moil. Moilu Shu Toivo. I'm sorry. I read it wrong. Until now, we heard Zav Shiroa Keri. Va'afilu Keri Shiroa Zav Moilu Shu Toivo. What about the other way around? What about Keri that then became a Zav afterwards? Does it work that he goes to the mikveh? Or should he go to the mikveh again because of the same reason? Yes, says more Nishmina Min Adol. We can learn from our mission over here. It says, I'm Mishamesh Shiroa Sanida. First she saw a Keri, meaning she had relations, and then she became a Nida. Shvicha Tefillah, she has to go to the mikveh. So it doesn't matter whether the more severe Tumah came first, and then the Tumah of Keri, or that Keri came first, and then the more severe Tumah. Regardless, you want to go daven, you want to go learn, you have to go to the mikveh first. That's all according to the first Tana Kama. Rabbi Yehuda Pater. Rabbi Yehuda said your Pater. My Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you don't have to go to the mikveh in this case? Is it Mishum Ma Moil Hushu Toivel? Is it because it doesn't do any good to go to the mikveh? Because he's going to be tummy anyway afterwards. He still is off. Is it because of that? Is it because there's no concept of Tumah Kala by Tumah Chamura? In other words, the Keri is nothing vis-a-vis the Zof. See, it's like something we have, it pales in comparison.
I understand.
Yeah.
could it be as first, like you have a ritual tumor comes in contact with somehow gets a shame of the tumor?
That's exactly the question. In other words, maybe that's those four, that a ritual tumor, it's a joke to talk about it being also a shani latuma. So what are we, here it's an avatuma. A zov is an avatuma. A keri is a lighter tumor, it's also an avatuma. But it's a lighter tumor, it's a tumor for one day, as opposed to a posted tumor is up for 7 days. So maybe there's nothing to talk about, says Rabbi Yehuda. And he has a tumor chamura. We're not going to concern with the tumor kala. So that's the Gemara's kash here. Yeah. Yes, as a zovi cat, it's about carry which impedes it from davening. Okay, good. No, we're going to discuss that. Says the Gemara, manafik be mi benon. What comes out from between the two of them, which is as we ask in the Bavli, lemainaf kamina. Who cares what Rabbi Yehuda's logic is? So says the Gemara, I'll tell you what the nafkamina is. Ra carry. Now this line is unintelligible without the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach says, you know what it's talking about? Sameach case, he's a Zof. But he's counted Shiva Nakim. He's counted 7 clean days, which a Zof has to count. Now on the last day of Shiva Nakim, he sees Keri. Not Ziva, he sees Keri. Oh. So now, here's the Nafkumina. If you hold in Tamar Mambo Yushutoivel, if you're going to say, what's the point? It's going to mikvah. It's going to remain a zav anyway. That doesn't apply here, because after he goes to the mikvah here, he'll be torn both from ziva and from keri. Because zav he already isn't, because he's 7 clean days, and keri's not going to be either, because after he goes to the mikvah, that already makes him torn from keri. So if that's the logic, Rabbi Yehuda, in this case, you should be mechayvin to go to the mikvah. However, again, it certainly works in this case. Lays time of the low, there's no reason not to go except double negative here. There's lays time of the low, there's no reason not to go unless you all have the other svara. Mishum she'ein shame l'tumah kale t'tumah chamura. Because there's no point in being discussing carry while he still is off. In other words, if in this case Rabbi Yehuda patters you, so tremendously lumdish gemara, you don't usually find this in the Bavli. If in this case we're on the 7th day, the Zov saw carry, Rabbi Yehuda patters him for going to the mikvah, it must be because he says, this guy still has the tumah chamura, we're concerned with his tumah kala. Of course we're not concerned. It must be that's the logic. Because if the logic was that the tefillah is not going to work anyway, here it will work. Because here, after he goes to the mikvah, it's going to be torah both from Zav and from Keri. Because Ziva is 7 days are up, and Keri is only 1 day tuma. It must be if Rabbi Yehuda patters you in this case, it must be because he holds, where did Rabbanan make that takana of tefillah for Keri? Where that was the only tumah which is upon you. Where you had another tumah upon you, which is the tumah of Ziva, they didn't concern themselves with Keri. Lamaisa, if you go to the mikvah now, it'll work for both for Ziva and for Keri. So what? I don't care. I don't look at all, even to begin with, at the tumah kala, at the light tumah where there's a tumah chamur involved. It must be that's Rabbi Nisvar. Otherwise, again, in this case, there'd be no logic to pop to the guy from going to the mikvah.
You're going to go to the mikvah anyway.
What?
After
the Zivar. But you can daven before. That's the shaila, whether you can daven before you go to the mikvah. So if you held like the first four Rabbi Yehuda, so he would prevent you from going to the mikvah until you from davening until you went to the mikvah, because this tefillah would work. So he'll say, you know what, this tefillah would work. Go to the mikvah before you daven. But if you're going to hold like the second svara, that there's no discussion of tumah kala b'makom tumah chamura, then let him go ahead and daven before he goes to the mikvah. A zav is not prevented from davening before he goes to the mikvah, and we don't care about the tumah kala b'makom chamura, so there's no reason for him to go to the mikvah before he davens marav, or whatever he's going to do. Okay, it says more, ad kedun, now new issue. Ad kedun, until now we only saw kshabalo tumah kala l'basof. When in our mission we talk about where first came, and the case we just talked about more is first came the tumah chamura of Zav, and then came the tumah kala of Keri. Afilu baslo tumah chamura lebasof. What about in the case where first came the Tumah of Keri and then came the Tumah Chamura of Zoth? How do we know that case also? Rabbi is not concerned with the Keri. And here it's a bigger Kiddush. Because maybe Rabbi will only say, we don't care about Tumah Kala, B'makom Tumah Chamura, where he was first had the Tumah Chamura and then the Tumah Kala. What about where first he had the Tumah Kala of Keri and then only afterwards got the Tumah Chamura of Zoth? How do we know that even in that case, Rabbi doesn't care about the Tumah Chamura? About the Tumah Kala, and he doesn't require you to go to the mikveh. The Nishmina Minado, we can learn from our Mishnah as well. Hamishamesh is Shiroa Sanida. It says explicitly, a woman who had relations, and then saw Nida, Shricha Tvila, according to Tarakama, she requires Tvila for Rabbi Yehuda Poiter. Rabbi Yehuda says, Paters. But he says she doesn't go to the mikveh. And here, which Tumah came first? First came the Tumah Kala. First came the lighter Tumah of Nida, of Tashmish, of relations, which is Keri. And only afterwards came the Tumah Chamura of Nida. Right? Oh, so we see it makes no difference which comes first. Wherever there's a Tumah Chamura, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make you go to the mikvah for the Tumah Kala. Amra, we said from there, Adamra, this tells us, he adah. It's the same way this way, the same way this way. In other words, it doesn't matter which comes first, the Tumah Kala or the Tumah Chamura. Wherever you have a Tumah Chamura anyway, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make you go to the mikvah for the Tumah Kala before you daven. Hadron Allah, Misha Meso. Have a good evening.